Hello, and welcome back to another episode of No Sevens Podcast. I'm your host, Silas, joined your other two hosts, David Deloge and Caleb Lee. Tonight, today, whenever you're listening, we are talking about Sound of Metal. 2019, director Darius Marder. This was his debut film, and starring Riz Ahmed and Olivia Cooke and Paul Rassi. Racy.
I don't know how to say his name. Paul Racy? Rachy? Rassy? Rachy?
First Mr. impressions Paul. For... Oh, yeah. First impressions for me, I couldn't hear like half the movie. No, obviously I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding because half of it was like deaf. I mean, like no noise. But you know, that's the point.
I feel like we should just apologize in advance for probably like not using the correct terminology or something. I feel like, is there,
I mean, what are you going to,
there's I
only,
know.
I don't think so.
Hard of hearing. I mean,
no, I think, I mean, deaf is the same. I don't know. Anyway. I mean,
well, dude, why do we need to apologize? Never mind.
I was just being semi-facetious. I don't know. I want to be sensitive to people.
Yeah, but they're not listening. let's be real here.
Bird.
If you're listening and you have a loved one in your life who's deaf or hard of hearing, please understand. This is all in good. We're not even making fun. It's. I mean, there's nothing. I don't feel like there's. It's that joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Actually, if you are listening and you have somebody in your life who's is deaf, if you signed them like our podcast, that would be cool. Or if you just wanted
Mad
to be,
props.
Yeah. Or if you just wanted to do like a transcript or something like that, that'd be cool because we definitely like we can barely. Put an episode out every week, so we don't have time for like a transcript. But. Anyway, should we get into our non-spoiler reviews? Sorry to lead us down that road.
Over and under non-spoiler.
Yeah, let's
reviews.
Do that.
Mine's gonna be over. This movie is right up my alley on movies I would choose to watch even by myself. I thought it was really pretty. I thought the acting was good. I thought parts that were relatable, and I thought it was just interesting all in all. So. Big over for me.
I'm willing to be persuaded, I guess. I haven't decided if it's an over for me yet. I thought it got points for originality. It definitely gets points for the sound editing, which it won an Oscar for. It won an Oscar for best sound, which is like kind of makes sense, but also kind of ironic. I guess sound is in the title, so that makes sense. Good sound, good originality. I felt like the story was a little bit lacking for me. It just didn't wow me. So that's my non-spoiler. Caleb?
Yeah, I'm kind of right in the middle because I think overall it was pretty good and I enjoyed it. It was kind of emotional and but yeah... But to your point, David, the story maybe wasn't lacking, but it was kind of, I don't know, a little basic. Not in the sense of like common, like it, you know, I think it was a unique storyline, but like, and I can't say too much. I'll say more in the spoiler section. But anyway, I mean, it'll probably be an over for me. But I thought it was really good and just, it was shot well, like from a cinematic standpoint, I think it was really good. That's where it hit the high marks for me.
All right. Spoilers in 3, 2, 1.
He likes being
metal
deaf.
Is oh. actually his implants.
Ah, and Ruben and Lou do not end up together.
I really did not write a lot of discussion questions for this. I guess we should start by talking about the sound editing, the music, the... So... If you haven't watched this movie already, first of all, I hope you haven't come this far into the podcast, but also I recommend watching this with headphones on because that's how I watched it. And I felt like that just leveled up the immersiveness of the movie like a lot. Like if I had not watched it with headphones, it would have been like not nearly as immersive an experience.
So did you watch it on your laptop or something?
I did. I watched it on my laptop with headphones connected. And so it was like, you know, like the only things that I was hearing were the sounds of the movie. And so like when he was like experiencing deafness or like experiencing, you know, all the like his version of like whatever he could hear or couldn't hear, like I was experiencing essentially like exactly what it sounded like for him, because I was sort of like trapped in my own ears in the same way.
Could see that being helpful.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like the movie almost would suffer if you weren't watching it like that. Because it would take you out of his like experience a little bit. I don't know. Did you guys watch it just like on your normal TV speakers or whatever?
I watched it half and half. Last night I watched half of it on my TV, which I have the surround sound, so it helped, but obviously it wasn't like as immersive as headphones were. And then tonight I watched the second half with headphones, and the headphone experience was definitely better. So I can relate to what you're saying, David, but I think, you know, especially if you saw in theaters, it would have been really, really good, because, you know,
yeah,
theaters are already loud. But yeah, it was really, I mean, that those aspects of the movie were fantastic. Like just the sound engineering and kind of tying the end to the movie from his perspective as well. So I thought it was really good.
Yeah. So I guess the takeaway is like, make sure that you're watching this like somewhere that you can like fully experience the sound. Like don't just watch this on like your laptop speakers or something like that. Like try and like go either watch it on like with like nice speakers or nice headphones, ideally, to like really experience it. Cause a huge part of this movie is like the sound. Silas, do you have any comments? It sounds like you liked the movie most out of all of us.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting movie to combine like the element of him going deaf and having to adjust to that as a musician, and then also you kind of had the mental health aspects there too, but not overly done or in an obnoxious or unsensitive way, if that makes sense. Like you had his history of drug use that is kind of just mentioned. It's an underlying theme, but it's not heavy, or a heavy part of this, at least in a big way. And then you had Lou's character, who had like depression or anxiety of some sort. And I thought that was an interesting dynamic between them two. And then you throw in his struggle of like just adjusting to his new life and losing his entire way of life before.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot.
No, that was a really good way to put it. And I was thinking, and kind of throughout the movie, like it was very real and very raw, I feel like, which made it seem not so much like a movie and more of just like following these two people, you know, mostly just him, Ruben, following him through this tragedy, if you want to look at it, you know, like that, or just this life event. And, you know, it wasn't like the traditional sense where there's like, you know, an antagonist, protagonist. There's like, you know, it didn't feel like there was much of what a traditional movie has as far as like the plot outline and everything like that. But it did a really good job of like, you know, conveying a lot of the different struggles and issues that these people were going through.
I think what I did like I thought the opening few minutes was really, really good. Where
I definitely agree.
I think that was,
you could instantly tell where they were going when he was like making the breakfast and blending this, all that. I could just like, you knew what was coming.
Yeah, because they really like, they focus in on a lot of the like little sounds. And then of course there's like basically a duplicate of that scene after he goes deaf where like it's all the same stuff, but all without like sound basically. I thought that was really good. I thought it was really interesting that they sort of took the time to like paint him or paint them as like not I guess what you would stereotypically think of as like a metalhead or something like that. Like that scene in particular of like, you don't think of them like making smoothies or like listening to, I don't know, whatever, like old records they were listening to. Like, that's not necessarily like the stereotype. So that was very interesting to like kind of develop their characters. I felt like that intro scene was like the best scene in the movie. Well, not the best scene in the movie, but like really well done. I guess I felt like there were some other parts of the movie that compared to that scene, the storytelling was not as good. What did you guys think of, before we kind of get into like talking about the narrative arc of the movie, what did you guys think about the acting in the movie overall? I guess we can start with Riz Ahmed. He's the lead actor.
I thought it was A+. I mean, it was, to me, really, really good. And there were, I think Silas said it earlier, there were a lot of relatable moments and almost like conversations and moments that I feel like I've had those exact same interactions with people. And it felt like I was just watching that from, it was like I was watching a memory, you know? Like, I think specifically of the scene at the end, whenever Lou and Ruben kind of come to the realization that they're not going to be together. And I was like, I don't know. It was just like a very emotional kind of scene. And it was just, I don't know. It was really, really good. And it didn't seem like any of it was forced. Like, it was just so natural. I noted that the acting, in my opinion, was really good.
That's a great way to put it. Like, you're watching it. I agree with that assessment. I thought it was, you know, it's like a hard thing to act, like losing your hearing. And he learned sign language and drumming for this role. So,
oh,
hats off really? There.
He learned how to drum too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. He did get nominated for Best Actor. He didn't win, but he was nominated. And Mr. Paul, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say your last name, was also nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
I have a nomination.
Who, Riz or Mr. Paul?
Paul. Well, I mean, both, but...
What did you guys think of his character? Because I was a little bit confused about how to read him.
It was interesting. Like a fatherly, almost sage type. Yeah, it was just interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, me too. Sorry. I'm a little distracted. I'm an odd situation I find myself in tonight. So I've just been diagnosed, unprofessionally diagnosed with a potentially life-threatening condition. So...
Oh boy.
But that's neither here nor there. I'm here, I mean, and I'm alive, so this might be the last podcast you guys hear me on.
I guess
to all our listeners, I love you.
Technically, no. It is true what Caleb just said. However, it is highly likely that with administration of sufficient fluids, he will be just fine.
Yeah. Basically, although, I worked out too hard and it could kill me. That's the gist of it.
He probably has a mild case of rhabdomyolysis, which causes muscle tissue to break down and potentially damage kidneys, and in severe cases, it can cause death. However, it is pretty unlikely that it would be at that point for Caleb, because this happened like 2 days ago.
But anyway, I think the dad character in the movie was pretty nice. You know, I almost feel like, you know, it's the same character I've seen in a lot of, like, he fit the bill perfectly for... like the leader of this community who was trying to help people. He was stern, also like caring and supportive and like sympathetic and all the things you have to be to kind of help addicts or people who are in need. But, you know, he realizes the mission of the place, of the community, and he has to uphold pretty strict standards in order to keep it that way. So I thought, you know, that all the way around, he was... really cool character, and I think helped Ruben a lot in his journey. Ultimately, you know, maybe that's he taught Ruben to appreciate and not to appreciate. I don't want to say that. To not look at being deaf as a handicap.
Yeah. I particularly like the scene where he had to tell Ruben that he couldn't stay. That was a pretty well acted scene.
Yeah, I thought that was a good scene. I had a hard time reading Joe is the character's name, right? It's been a while since I watched this movie, so I feel like I'm coming off as very like apathetic towards it, which I didn't love it, so that maybe is partially why, but I had a hard time reading him because he felt like a little bit creepy to me. Like I got a little bit of like a cult leader vibe, and it made me a little bit uncomfortable. It kind of confused me about how I was supposed to interpret him, because like it seemed like by the end of the movie it seems like Joe is supposed to be this sort of like guru type character. By the end of the movie that seems to be like who he is, because he doesn't like do anything bad or anything like that, but sort of in like early to mid like parts of the movie I was a little bit confused about whether he was supposed to be interpreted as a guru or sort of was going to turn into this sort of like darker figure. Partially
I get that.
And the scene that did that for me was the scene where Ruben is like fixing the gutters or whatever, and like Joe kind of has this moment of like getting very like almost angry with him where he's like, nothing here needs fixing. And it was like, whoa, okay, dude. He was just like trying to be nice. And I get that it was like a thing of like, dude, you need to like deal with like your psychological issues and not like approach it from like trying to fix yourself. Like I get where that eventually went, but there were some like moments like that where I was a little bit like, am I supposed to interpret this guy as just like a guru, like wise, you know, mentor, or is there something else going on here that I'm not like, can't quite put my finger on.
Interesting. I thought the if anything was gonna do that, I didn't really like him when you're first introduced, because he seems kind of like too friendly or something that. But his Paul, I'm not gonna say his last name,
Joe.
He was raised by parents who are
deaf,
so he already knew ASL, and he performs in a band called the Hands of Doom.
Interesting.
That perform in ASL.
Wait, they perform music in ASL?
Yeah.
Interesting. But so like he signs the lyrics while he's singing them or something like that, or?
I'm assuming so. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Like I'm assuming they do something instrumentally and then just sign the lyrics.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
How that would work.
Interesting.
I guess you could just do a light
show. You know what else? Here's something I did like about Ruben's character that, this is like a nice subtle acting nod to Riz Ahmed. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but like the scene where he writes his name on the whiteboard, the way he writes it is like very like, the way he writes it is because I went through a phase of like thinking graffiti was a really cool art form, like in my early to mid teens. So when he wrote his name, I immediately identified it as like, okay, he's like written graffiti before, because those letters are letters that he's practiced to look like that. Like the way he wrote his letters in his name are like that type of writing. So I thought that was interesting, because that was like told you something about his character and kind of like his past without like necessarily saying it. So that was interesting. I don't know where that came from, or if that was even the intended thing, or if that's just how Riz Ahmed writes, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that was definitely a nice, that whole touch where he's like kind of learning sign language and becoming a mentor is kind of, and it almost seems like he's happier maybe than he ever has been before.
Yeah.
Just in those couple scenes.
He seemed like he was very, at peace after he's been there a few weeks and has learned sign language and has the ability to communicate with people. I think so. This may be a good time to transition into like what I didn't like about the movie. And it partially revolves around that transition of like him going from him being there and like he's kind of like he's in his first few days or weeks of being deaf. and he can't really figure out how to operate inside this new world. And then we just kind of like jump to like, he knows sign language now, like, and he's like engaged with all the kids, and like, we basically just jump to like him being good at being deaf now. He's learned how to be deaf or whatever it was that Joe wrote on the whiteboard in that one scene, right? I felt like a lot of the movie was very like tell, don't show, or telling, not showing. And that's what bothered me. Like,
how so?
So like, we don't ever like actually like basically like his drug addiction seems to be like a significant portion of like his character's arc and like how he's come to be like where he is, and like why he's processing everything the way he is, and like just like his whole like mental headspace, like that seems to be an important part of his character backstory. But we find out about that, like he just says like, I used to be a drug addict or whatever, right? Or like the thing with like where it like it like jumps to like just him being having learned how to be deaf without us ever seeing any sort of like progression. It just kind of like fast forwards like through time like that. Or
he does like the alphabet race.
Yeah, but I feel like at that point, like he's already like, if you're racing somebody in sign language to do the alphabet, like you've already pretty much like got it down. So I felt like,
well, I mean, I know the alphabet, but I wouldn't be very good,
I guess,
at it. And I couldn't taunt them after.
But I guess, I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of like, outside of like, I mean, it does a really good job of like the sound, using the sound to tell the story or show the story, I guess. But I felt like there was a lot of just, I don't know. Then the narrative was where it fell flat for me, I think.
I get what you're saying. I did think the transition was a bit abrupt. I wouldn't say it was as much as it bothered you from when he doesn't know sign language to when he does. And I think the smoking thing is another hint at his like past drug abuse. Because Lou is like, oh, you're smoking again now? I forget what he says. But then they talk to whoever it is on the phone. That was another thing. Because I guess it seems like with the smoothies and all, he's on a health or is being healthy.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Speaking of Lou... she looks way better with eyebrows. I don't know if you guys
what?
I don't know if you noticed that or not, but you know, her eyebrows were dyed blonde. And just as a general rule, I think eyebrows make people look better. So when she went off to France and, you know, kind of, I don't know, cleaned up a little bit, much better look for old Lou. Or should we say,
I guess I did.
Luis, or whatever her name was.
At least I didn't quite notice it.
All right. And with that. The end of the episode.
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of other discussion questions. I guess we can talk. Okay.
What'd you all think of their... I guess I'd want to talk about their relationship and then how it ended.
Okay.
I would say, I mean, to me, from outside looking in, obviously they were together for 4 years, so they had something going on. But it did seem... Well, I don't know. It was pretty deep because, you know, I mean, they seemed a very... obviously care for each other and love each other, especially at the beginning when they're like having to be separated. But also it seemed like kind of a shallow relationship because once they were separated, they kind of just lost that connection. And it was like they basically were together because they were comfortable with each other and like, you know, that's all they knew. And they helped each other through a very tough time in their lives, you know, as in their words, they saved each other's lives. And so like that initial, I think, connection probably carried them through a large portion of that relationship. But then it's like once they were apart, maybe they lost that and they lost those strong feelings. And that's why it's like they almost just both came to the realization that that former life that they had, like, of just being what they, you know, they said gypsies or something, that was kind of over and they weren't quite sure where to take it after that.
Yeah, to me it seemed like kind of unhealthy. Like the scene where she's leaving in the cab was kind of like, I don't know, he seemed like he was obviously like very attached and almost like dependent upon her. Of like, is he seemed very, he seemed he seemed very uncomfortable with the idea of just having to like be by himself, which I think is like part of the movie, and like kind of his character development. But like from that perspective, it seems like that was something that, at least for him, like he was really not comfortable being away from her because he did not want to be by himself. And just that whole scene, like, I mean, yeah, that makes sense of like your, you know, your girlfriend or whatever is like leaving and, you know, it's, you're in kind of this like emotionally vulnerable time in your life. And it's like, it's going to be emotional. But I just got this vibe from that scene of like this seems like he's not like in necessarily a good, I mean, obviously he wasn't in a good space, but like that scene just gave me like weird vibes about their relationship of like, it didn't seem super healthy.
I agree. It seemed like they were probably dependent on each other because I think what he said, he'd been clean for 4 years and they had been together for four years. So like you said, Caleb, they probably helped each other through a tough time. And then I think they ended up and becoming bad for you. And then you see when they get reunited, she is like scratching her arm again. Once he's there, he's become a bad LA.
Interesting. I thought honestly for a little while that the plot was going to go that like he was going to like fall in love with the like teacher lady and like there was going to be some sort of like conflict decision there, but that
I definitely had a
that never went anywhere, at least not in the VidAngel version. And
no,
so,
it didn't. I mean, that's what they wanted you to think, you know? Gives that little bit of, that's the little traditional movie feel, you know, a little bit of drama, little bit of oopsie daisy, they're going to mess up, you know, something like that. But Daisy never showed up, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Come on. I
so
mean,
I don't know, maybe.
This is a pretty, I mean, it's a pretty heavy movie. We got to do something to spice it up, lighten the load.
So maybe he goes back and, I don't know, reunites with the teacher lady. I like to think that's maybe what happens, but I don't know.
We can hope. We can hope.
He doesn't have to reunite with...
Gets out of France.
Yeah, he doesn't have to reunite with anybody. He can just, you know, do whatever he wants to do.
Speaking of France, just real quick, I like the song that her and her dad sang. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I don't know. It's kind of pretty. But, like, French as a language, when they were singing that, was... like French is just like such a kind of gross language, if you ask me. They're like peel peel, like just like little words like that. Like it just sounds like they're, I don't know. It was just like, I was like, pretty song. Maybe do it English next time.
Okay.
Or okay, let me say it a different way. Maybe do it in another language. It doesn't have to be English, but like oh fall out. They're like oh hill, hill. Like it's just a lot of like throat noises, I feel like.
Wow. All right.
I'm sorry. There's a bunch of
aside. Okay. Here's something here, maybe you guys can explain this to me. So the implants, right? I did not, I mean, I guess I kind of get the conflict over the implants, but I don't get why, like, I feel like I would feel bad if I was a deaf person who had implants watching this movie. I don't know. Is there like a stigma around implants in the deaf community? What's, and if so, why?
Good question.
So
I'm sure it's like maybe something that people who can't afford them feel a certain way towards. So that's, I guess, the only thing I could.
I mean, I get like kind of, that was kind of what threw me off a little bit about Joe and made me feel weird about him, because like, I get like why, like I get why the implants would be like sort of in conflict with like what he's doing in his community or whatever. But at the same time, I felt like he was almost like mad about the idea of like getting implants, or like felt like the implants were like a betrayal of like the implant. It was like Joe felt like the implants were Ruben saying that being deaf is a bad thing, which like maybe in the context of the story, but also I feel like just from an objective standpoint, like being able to hear is easier than not being able to hear. Like, so yeah. I don't get why Ruben was faulted for like wanting to be able to hear.
Right.
especially as like a musician. I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's no way you could be a musician with those.
Yeah.
Like the level his hearing was, you could not function as a musician.
Yeah. But I don't think he understood that.
Yeah, that's a, like, that's another thing. It was somewhere along the line, somebody has to communicate to Ruben that this is not going to be like a 100% fix, like, oh, you're back to normal, everything. And I feel like most people maybe just kind of understand that, but he seemed so shocked that this hearing was not like his old hearing. And I don't know how they actually sound. I would assume that they tried to depict it accurately.
Yeah.
But like that kind of frustrated me. I'm like, dude, come on. Like you can't expect that this is just going to be like a one-stop, you know, fix to your problem. And it obviously it fixed it to an extent he could hear, but I don't know. I was just like, all right, let's, you know, somebody has to have told him somewhere down the line that this will restore a certain level of hearing, but it's not going to be like it was before.
I think the first doctor probably, I feel like he did, but you probably hear only what you want to hear, or you forget what people say if you're so focused.
Yeah. But back to your point, David, I don't know. I mean, it does seem kind of weird why Joe was so, like, I get the accessibility thing, you know, with the cost and everything. But at the same time, I don't see why you would discourage someone from finding a treatment for their problem, you know, like, or taking advantage of technology that could help them with their problem, you know, like we wouldn't, if somebody is like, has poor vision, we wouldn't like, and I'm not talking completely blind necessarily, but we don't like look down on them and say, oh, you got glasses or you got LASIK eye surgery because you can't see as good as other people. Oh, like, how do you think that makes other people who can't see that well feel, you know? And it's not the same exactly because, I mean, obviously vision and the solutions to poor vision are so much more accessible. But, like, I think it can be compared because there is a treatment for that. It's a very expensive treatment, but Joe or Ruben was willing to do what he had to do, basically sell everything he owned and take advantage of it. So I don't see why there was such like the backlash from the community. But I don't know. I can see it both ways.
Yeah, I think the point Joe's character making too is just about like the person, because all those people at his little community are addicts as well. So he's like probably trying to make deeper lessons out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It seemed like the issue when it got more specific to like Ruben was that the implants were like they're an alternative to like fixing the deeper problems, like fixing like whatever the scene, there was a scene where he's like tapping his head and he's like, you got to fix like what's up here, not like with the, not like you, not your ears or whatever he says, right? Of like he's using the implants to like try and be sort of like a quicker fix, I guess, or like avoid like dealing with like his mental health, which makes sense. I don't know if you're involved with the deaf community and you're listening, let us know, like, what is the deal? What's the deal with implants? Is this just sort of like a fabricated divide that exists for this movie? Is this like a real issue? And like, what are the different, like, we don't know. And you can probably tell that from listening to us, I'm sure. Here's another question I have about the deaf community and sign language specifically is jazz hands. I don't understand the purpose of jazz hands because it seems so...
It's clapping.
Okay, but why isn't clapping just the sign for clapping? It's also like...
Because it doesn't make any noise.
Neither does jazz it's hands. Pointless. But like, why could...
Yeah, but it's like the same thing. Like you're.
But why do you have to do?
You're just doing something with
but,
your hands.
But like, why? I don't understand why there needs to be a separate sign for clapping, because anybody can look at somebody clapping and know that they're clapping and know what that means. So I don't understand why there needs to be a separate sign specifically for sign language.
Well, not
language.
If you've been deaf for your whole life.
But like, why wouldn't you just teach them that like clapping? Like, why do you like? Clapping also has like a visual hand sign component to it that is universally recognizable.
I'm sure there's more signs that are like dealing with your hands coming together fast and like, I don't know. But I could understand.
I just don't understand. Maybe there is a really good reason. I just don't know. But it seems to me like you would just clap because it would just be like, it would, and you would know what it means.
Yeah. Silas, I, David, for the most part, agree with you. But Silas, what you said there at the end, I think might be it. It could be confused potentially for another sign. Like,
I guess.
Because there was like a lot of like weird hand motions that Joe was using. Like, why don't you think about it? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's the main reason. Who knows?
That seems...
It says, the internet says, that people often clap their hands at waist level, which is hard to see. So everybody could be clapping just like down here, and you couldn't see.
Oh, okay. Like,
on our screens right now, you can't see it. So instead you do it.
Interesting. Still seems like an easier fix would just be clap higher, but I guess, you know, I am not an American Sign Language linguist, and I have no grounds to suggest any changes to ASL, especially at this point, and I don't know how long it's existed, but I'm assuming a relatively long time. But if I was going to suggest a change, that would maybe be it. So it seems like a little bit of an inefficiency there.
Well, that's about all I had to talk Same. About. You guys have anything else? Ratings.
I might just need to give my rating and say goodnight.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. It's a doozy, but my rating is not a doozy. I think I'm going to give this an 8 because I did like it. Barring, and I don't know if you guys talked about this when I was gone. Of course, David, I know you watched it through VidAngel, which... More and more, I wish I had that because, like, this movie, with it being so real and raw, it wasn't, like, superfluous. Like, the language is probably exactly how two, you know, small band members would speak, you know. So I'm not, like, necessarily harping on that. But in a perfect world, I would cut down on that. And otherwise, really good story, kind of unique premise. And the movie making aspects of it kind of pushed it over the 7 hump for me. And with that being said, I'm going to do my piece a little bit early. So thank you guys for listening. This is Caleb signing out. Peace.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. You know, I'll go 8. You convinced me, Silas, to go a little higher on it. Personally, like for me, in terms of like my personal like, it's probably a 7. But I think you make some good points about the higher objective movie making quality of this film. So I'll put it in the 8s category. Begrudgingly, I guess. I did think the acting was really good. And there was a lot, the approach to like, the sound was very original and very immersive, and I think props for those two things. So for that reason and for all of your good points, Silas, I will give it an 8.
It was a 9 for me because I thought it was very pretty and it shot very well. Like you already said, David, the sound and the acting, interesting and unique plot as well. I like movies that are heavier and a little bit more personal taste. So yeah, 9 for me, 8, 8, and a 9. Does this mean we have to decide the movie?
I think what we're going to do is take a little break, right?
All right. So this is end of season 1.
Oh, it is? Of sorts. I think it was just, I was thinking like each year would be a season. I don't know.
Okay.
The end of season 1. I don't know. It depends on what I decide to do with breaking them up. I mean, it doesn't really matter what season they're a part of, honestly, but. Anyway, so here's what's going to happen, hopefully, theoretically, if we do this correctly. So this episode will come out on like May 10th, I think. We're going to take a few weeks off of releasing episodes. We'll probably watch a few movies and maybe record and bank some episodes, but we're not going to put those out right away. We're going to come back with a new release movie, A Quiet Place 2, which releases, I believe, on May 28th. Yes. So theoretically, hopefully May 21st or 31st, we will come back with a new episode on Quiet Place 2, which will be in theaters. So you have to go to an actual physical theater, hopefully, which is open in your area. I believe theaters are supposed to be opening up here by then, kind of banking on that for to be happening at by that point. I should be fully vaccinated by that point as well. But in any case, theoretically, hopefully, May 31st, we'll be reviewing Quiet Place 2. If theaters are closed, we'll just do something else. But yeah, we're going to take a break. And I guess on May 31st, we'll pick another movie or tell you what our next movie is. Until then, we hope you guys, you know, go back, listen to some of our older episodes, bump up those listen counts. We really like to break 20 plays on all episodes. That would be phenomenal. Share it with your family, share it with your friends, share it with your movie review club, the people you go to Chick-fil-A with, the people you work out with, the dog people at the dog park. Share it with the person who gives you your vaccine. You don't have to do that. That seems like that'd be a little bit awkward, but yeah, share it. We gotta get those. We don't really care if people listen or not that much, but you know, it makes us feel good about ourselves. Anyway, this has been the longest outro I think I've ever done. Salas, you got anything else?
That's
all right. Well, we will catch you guys in a few weeks.
I'll do Caleb's. Peace.